All right, good morning, church. What I'm about to share with you, I might seem like a desperate attempt to gain brownie points with my father-in-law, but I can assure you that's not the case. But when we get together for Sunday meals, or whenever we usually get together for any meal as a whole family, his opening line in the prayer is, we pause to give you thanks, right? We pause to give you thanks. And I really appreciate this prayer, although some at the table might not because it tends to go on a bit and he starts preaching a little bit. But in all seriousness, don't look at him. In all seriousness, I find this phrase incredibly profound. I find this short, brief sentence very powerful. We pause to give you thanks. I think when he prays this prayer, and I always get this feel that it implies that life is busy. Life is chaotic. Life is full. And this isn't a guilt trip, right? It's not like, oh, how could you be filling your schedule? No, it's just, that's life. Life happens. Our schedules get packed, and oftentimes we don't allow ourselves times to pause and reflect. Pause to give thanks. And in the same way, I think we tend to do that with the Bible as well, right? When we're reading the Bible, which is, especially if we're on a reading plan, right? It goes, oh, how many more chapters do I have to read through to finish today's assigned reading, or whatever the case might be, or maybe even in our teaching series. Maybe we feel like, oh, okay, we're at the end of 1 Thessalonians, we'll get to 2nd, and then we'll be done with this series. Oftentimes, do we pause to reflect on what is being said, on what is being done, on what God is trying to teach us. And that's what I want to do today. Because when we pause, it also means, right, it's not just the implication that life is hectic and full and we got all these things to do, but we are intentionally putting on hold our to-do lists, right? We all have things we got to get done. There are places we need to be. There are people we need to meet. But we are pausing. We're intentionally taking a step back to reflect, and I want to do that this morning. A short and powerful prayer is what Paul is praying in today's passage. If you think these handful of verses will cut down the length of my speaking, it's not, because I'm not going to get through all of them. But this morning, what I really want to do, I want to focus on two verses, verse 23 and 24. Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. A short prayer, a powerful prayer. And this is a reason why I wanted to intentionally give a Sunday dedicated to this benediction, to this blessing, to this prayer, because I want us to reflect on what Paul has been teaching these Thessalonians, what we as a church have been exploring through this letter. And what Paul is doing here in these two verses, he is asking God to do something, the God of peace. He's asking God to sanctify the Thessalonians and keep them blameless at Jesus' return. Although short, again, powerful. There are many facets to this prayer. Again, we don't have the time to go through all of them, but this morning I want to focus on two facets of this prayer. The first being that Paul points to the only power we have to obey all that God has commanded us, to obey all that Paul has just taught in chapters 4 and 5. That power only is through God. The second facet is that through God's sanctifying work, those who are in Jesus, that's in the context of the letter, the Thessalonians, but also in our context today, all believers will be faithful until they're either called home into the presence of the Lord or until Jesus returns. So the source of power that we have in obeying all of these things, from God. And those who are in Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit will be faithful until the very end. If you've been with us through this series and through this journey, you will know how powerful these two facets are and how encouraging they are to a church who is facing persecution, to a church that's faced loss, who are grieving, to a church that's being taught all of these confusing things where rumors are being told about how they have missed the coming, the second coming of Jesus. What a powerful prayer and blessing this is. Paul is doing these two things. He's praying to God, but he's also speaking this prayer to the Thessalonians. Let's look at the first half of verse 23. It says, "Now may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through." My translation says, "completely." Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. That word sanctifying, we know, and is a process of making us holy, making us set apart. But when we think of sanctification, oftentimes we'll think about it in the present tense, but there's actually three tenses of sanctification. The three being past, present, and future. When we look at past sanctification, we draw from verse 24a where it says, "He who calls you," right? For all of us in here in this room that proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, who have given our lives to him to live in accordance to his word, who trust in him, we all know that we were divinely called by God. He called out to us and he gave life to our dead spirits. He gave us life through faith in Jesus Christ, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, he secures our status with God. What's this status? We all know, if we've heard the gospel, we know that before Jesus, before all things, we are sinners. We have broken God's law. And because we have broken God's law, our standing before God is guilty. And the consequence that we face is all deserved on us. It's put on us because we have all gone astray. We have all looked to our own way. There is no one faithful, no, not one. But God, in his love for us, we see, as it says in Hebrews 10:10 and 14, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. For by one offering, he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. When you heard the divine call, your spirit was revived, you were given life, and you responded to the call in trusting and through faith in Jesus, you are sanctified, you are justified, you are considered holy, you have been made right with God. Once and for all, your status is set. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Through Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, God rescued all believers from the dominion of sin and darkness and has brought us into life and into light, into his righteousness. When we accepted and when we answered the call and when we dedicated and gave our lives to Jesus, the Bible says that we've been given a new creation. We are new creations. We have a new nature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away and the new things have come." That is what placing our faith in Jesus Christ does. Our status with God is no longer guilty, but because of what Jesus has done, we are considered holy. We are made right with him. We could stand before the holy God with confidence, not in fear because of our sinfulness, not in fear because in his holiness we could die and we will perish. No, but because of the finished work of Jesus, we can stand with confidence because God doesn't look at us as sinners, but he looks at us as sanctified. We are covered with the righteousness of Christ. And as a result of Jesus' finished work on the cross, through his resurrection, God declares us holy. I'm not sure if you remember, a few years ago, we had a service on the beach. And I had two shirts. I had a black shirt and a white shirt. And my illustration was how the black shirt is often represents our life, right? I had a bottle of ketchup, and I squeezed it onto the black shirt, and you could wipe it off, and because it's black, it doesn't really show, it doesn't really matter, so who cares? But when I squirt it on the right, you can wipe it away, you can try to use cleaner and to get it out, but it's still stained. And oftentimes, we are marked with this stain, but what Jesus does is he takes off the black shirt that we're wearing, right? He takes off the sinfulness that envelops us. He put it on himself. He died on the cross. But he didn't just do that. As he took on our sinfulness, he took off his righteousness and clothed us in that. And so again, when God looks at us, he sees Jesus' righteousness. Past sanctification. Our status is secure. Future and final sanctification. Paul assures the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, 20 through 21. It says, "For citizens in our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory." Our final sanctification, brothers and sisters, is when we are in the presence of the Lord and we are given new bodies. Our broken, worn, and weary, and earthly bodies will be transformed into glorious, glorified, full, renewed bodies for all of eternity. And that is secure in Jesus. It is a promised realization for the church. This is when the spotless and perfect bride will be presented to her bridegroom. Without spot or blemish, we will be sanctified. We will be holy in both spirit and flesh. We will be perfect in glorified bodies in union with Jesus Christ. And the present sanctification. We know that our past sanctification secures our faith in Jesus and we are declared holy. We know that our future and final sanctification will be our reward for running the race. And so now our present sanctification is what's happening now. In the space between past and future, the present. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord the Spirit." Our present sanctification, and this is probably the main kind of definition we are all aware of, but this is the process in which believers strive. Obviously, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we strive to be more conformed into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. This is why I love when the Bible uses botanic language, because it often shows and represents that this is a process. It takes time, right? And although it still takes time, it also takes pruning. We got to do some work. And it's a process. It is our pursuit of holiness. And this is Paul's passionate prayer. This is his prayer for the Thessalonians, and in our context today, all believers, that we would be sanctified and kept blameless, and that we would pursue to progressively grow in our holiness for God. Being kept blameless, speaking of which, the second half of verse 23 says, "May our whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." We must understand that our being kept blameless encompasses all aspects of sanctification. It's not based off of our work. It's not based off of what we can do or how many good things that we can do. But it's all about our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We will be kept blameless. This will be our prize. And we are kept blameless through the sanctifying work of Jesus Christ. Christ in our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, sanctification is a process. So what does a sanctified life look like? Let's take a look at what Paul shares in this letter. A sanctified life, someone who pursues holiness and is in Jesus, what will be some signs that they are being sanctified? The first that Paul mentions of many, but the first that Paul mentions is increase and abound in love for one another. Chapter 3, 12 through 13 says, May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness. There is a relational connection here between our sanctification and the relationships we have with one another. It must. A sanctified believer, a sanctified life will abound and increase in love for one another and for all. The second is to maintain peace. Chapter 4, verse 3 and 6 says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that no one transgress or wrong a brother or sister." Chapter 5, 12 through 13 says, "We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves." Paul also recognizes God as the God of peace. Peace ought to be a pillar in our community. We cannot call ourselves a church. We cannot call ourselves a community of believers if peace is not there. The examples that Paul gives here all would shatter the peace if we ignored those. Increase in love, maintain peace, and lastly, obedience to God's word. This is the second facet to Paul's prayer in the Thessalonian believers, and ultimately all believers will be faithful until Jesus returns. How do we do this? By being obedient to the word through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul's prayer for the Thessalonians is that they won't only finish the race, but that they would finish it well, that they will be faithful, living through the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit until they are called into the presence of Jesus or until he returns. We do that by being obedient to his word. In chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls into his own kingdom and glory." Chapter 4, verse 7 says, "For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness." We have been called to live a life in obedience to God's word. That's how you know one is being sanctified. That's how you know that is a sign. These are signs, a few of many, that you are being sanctified. Increasing in love, maintaining peace, and obedience to God's word. But here's the beautiful part about it, and we'll end with this. Verse 24. "The one who calls you is faithful. He will do it." What an encouraging truth to a body of believers, right? To a body of believers who are facing daily persecution, who are being imprisoned, who are being killed. To a body of believers who are facing loss and distance from Paul and from loved ones. The one who calls you is faithful. The one who divinely called you out of your sinfulness and brought you into life, who has given our dead spirit life through the power of the Holy Spirit, he is faithful. He will do it. He will sanctify us. He will keep us. No matter what we face, no matter what uncertainties lie ahead of us, he will do it. 1 Corinthians 1, 7 through 9 says, "Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord." 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability, but with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure." Do you feel like you're being tempted to leave the faith? Do you feel like giving up because of the hardships that you face or the circumstances of life that you are facing? Don't give up. Keep going. He is faithful. Paul speaks to the Thessalonians, but this very word speaks to us today as well. Don't give up. Be faithful. He is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13 says, "Here is a trustworthy saying, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself." Even when we give up, God doesn't, because he is faithful. Don't give up. No matter what comes your way, keep going. Even this morning, do you sit here with us feeling like giving up? Lean on God. He is faithful. He will sustain you. Those who are in Jesus will be. They have been, they will be, and they are being kept for the day of Jesus' return. They will be blameless. They will run their race faithfully because God is faithful. This morning, if you feel like you're unsure of your sanctification, if you're unsure of where you stand before God, do you doubt your status? Do you doubt being kept? Reach out to a brother or sister in the church and be encouraged. When life throws you something unexpected, has life thrown you something unexpected this week? Do you feel like you can't go on? Reach out to a brother or sister and be encouraged and be reminded that he is faithful. He will keep us. And if you receive a call from a brother or sister, increase and abound in love and walk with them and remember above all else, he is faithful. He will do it. Lord, we pause to give you thanks because of your faithfulness to us in our lives. Lord, many of us in this room might have considered faithfulness from you to mean that our life is now easy, carefree, without strife, without struggle, without persecution, or without any hardships. But Lord, we know that this is not the case. We know that life is difficult. We know that that we have an enemy that's out there that's trying to bring us down. We know that we are surrounded by hardships and uncertainties. And Lord, as broken and worn believers, as the Thessalonians, we often want to give up. But Lord, we pray through the power of your Holy Spirit that we are reminded that you are faithful. We are reminded that you will sustain us. That we are reminded that you, God, will provide everything that we need. And as Paul says, whether in life or death, we glorify you. We praise you because we know that we are sanctified, past, present, and future. Lord, as your Holy Spirit does a good work in our hearts to conform us into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, transform us. Transform the way we live. May we be motivated through what we've learned in this letter. May we be motivated in the hope of your Son's return, who will bring full justice, who will bring peace, who will make right everything that's been wronged. God, may we live with urgency. May we live with faithfulness with every opportunity given. May we give glory to you through what we say, through what we think, through what we feel, through what we do in all areas in our life, encompassing our spirit, our soul, our physical bodies. God, may we be kept blameless through the power of your Holy Spirit, sanctifying us and motivating us to pursue holiness in our lives. Be glorified, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.